You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. And this is Bathrobe Spears Broadsides coming up, but having a little technical problem with our music, so we will be kind of jumping into things without music. Well, possibly with a little music later in the show. As I said before, you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3. I think we got some music. Thanks to the wizardry of our visiting tech here and talk show host and programmer, Josh. Thank you. Anyway, this is the October 24th edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadside, Sunday, October 24th. And today we have our usual 2.5 hours of grim fun, interviews, updates, hopefully less overkill and more specifics than ever before. Lots of stuff today around the police actions up in San Francisco last Friday, October 22nd, which was Stop Police Brutality Day, when folks were encouraged to wear black. We have upcoming city council meetings on Tuesday, actually, and probably the Tuesday after that. We've got a large Huff meeting. We hope it's going to be large on Monday at 11 o'clock at the Rise Zone for all you Stop the Sleeping Ban protesters getting ready to mobilize for the holiday season, to once and for all do something that the city should do, which is make it legal for homeless people to sleep somewhere in Santa Cruz at night and not be faced with $54 tickets and then warrants, which are usually push the charges to over $100 and make homeless people afraid to sleep in visible places, make them afraid to use police services, make them targets, in essence, for troll busters who are busting away or have been with very few checks for the last year. So that's what's coming up in Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. We're also going to have in-studio guest Steve Argue, also a talk show host of his own. I believe he's on Wednesday afternoon. Our schedule is a little unclear here. Steve, as you know, is a homeless activist, a political activist who has been convicted of assault on a police officer for a punch in the nose to Officer David Lefebvre in the course of a police sweep on May 22nd, which in the eyes of numerous witnesses threatened a woman and her child, and that's why Argue stepped in, but the jury didn't see it that way under the direction of a rather frightening judge, Robert, I call him Artichoke Heart Attic. We might want to call him Arctic Wind Attic. That's equally suitable. He'll be going back in early November, will Steve Argue, for sentencing, facing up to 5 years in jail, probably less time, but still, again, a likely jail or prison sentence, which is not good education for the community in dealing with police misconduct. It's essentially justification of police behavior. And we also had another case on Friday decided of Vinny Lombardo, Free Radio Santa Cruz reporter and broadcaster, as well as a Free Radio Santa Cruz mainstay. He's the man who probably knows more about Free Radio across the country than any single individual in Santa Cruz, that's my guess, and talks about it regularly and concisely on Free Radio in his show, which I'm going to find on here. I can never get this. I have actually a summary of these shows together for those interested, particularly in call-in local political events, which I think is really important. There's Phil Freeze's show, Resist Locally, 7:30 to 9 on Monday. There's, I thought Steve Argue had a show on Wednesday, but I guess I'm wrong. There's Jim Costner's show, 1 to 4, Liberation News on Thursday. There's, of course, my other Bathrobe Spears Broadsides show on Thursday, 6 to 8. And Uncle Dennis's Earth First show, jam-packed with information, 8 to 10 on Thursday, for those of you who are in the evening. Both of the shows are in the evening. And I guess Vinny's show is, where the hell is it? Maybe he'll call in and let us know. Great Leap Forward with John Malkin, always interesting, 9 to midnight on Saturday night. Then, of course, Friday night is Skidmark Bob, 9 o'clock until the wee hours. And he also has a Monday morning show, 8 to 11, where he plays Making Contact, Common Ground, Earth First Radio. Actually, that's the V-Man. I beg your pardon. That's the V-Man show, Monday morning. And Vinny was, in fact, is one of the Santa Cruz Five, and he was, I think, pressed into giving up his right to a jury trial, but he may have made that decision for many good reasons. One was the question of whether the counsel would actually represent him in a full fashion, because the counsel was putting, this his attorney that is, Tony Boal, was putting such pressure on him to go to take the deal that was given him. And the deal that he finally took was he pled guilty, or no contest, I should say, which is essentially equivalent to guilty, to the charge of resisting arrest. And resisting arrest means, it's not a good charge to have on your record. It's the second charge. His first one, of course, was in another bogus plea where he was essentially pressed into it in a peaceful demonstration, essentially defending his right as a tenant back in 1996 when he was in Campbell Street, and Free Radio was also in Campbell Street at that time. And the landlords earthquaked. The building was red tagged. They evicted the tenants, but they did not provide the relocation fees required by city law. And so Vinny and other tenants simply refused to leave until they got that money. And the city, instead of demanding the landlords pay up, of course, went after the victims, went after the poor, went after the tenants. And then, of course, on top of that, charged some of them with crimes for, Vinny was charged with resisting arrest. He didn't contest it. Instead, he went to court and sued the landlord and got relocation fees later. And he brought that up in court on Friday in order to show that the first case was not a real case of resisting arrest, but was actually a justified resistance to a kind of combined corporate government oppression. I don't mean that the landlords are corporate. Let's say landlord government oppression. I mean, I don't think these landlords are corporations, but... And what he got for his trouble was the judge, Heather Morse, actually increased his time of probation. She was originally sort of considering giving him only a year's probation, but she gave him a year and a half. She paid no attention whatsoever to the specifics that Vinny so articulately put forward, much more articulately than his attorney, I might add, and making one wonder why people are paying attorneys to do anything except that they seem to know, they are familiar with the labyrinthine ways through the law library, which actually it's not that hard to become conversant with them. I think we should start doing our own research, those of us who find ourselves targeted by the police. I have a case myself coming up in November for sitting on the base of the Tom Scribner Monument. That's the monument at the Bookshop Santa Cruz of the man who plays the musical Saw. He was also a very famous labor organizer, was with the Wobblies. I believe he was with the Communists as well for a while. And he fought for the rights of tenants. He fought for the rights of the poor. He would have barfed in his grave if he had seen Sergeant Sanders giving me the ticket that he gave me for sitting on the base of the statue, a place where the city attorney has sat, city council members have sat, and people with their children regularly sit. But I was told that I could not sit there. And the sergeant has been backed up by the city attorney on that case. So anyway, it's good for me, good for you, good for all of us to know how to use the law library. Vinny Lombardo, second in the Santa Cruz Five case, the second in Santa Cruz Five defendants, has pleaded no contest to charges of resisting arrest, and he has a year on probation. He was given no fine. He was given no jail. He was given a restitution fee of $100, and I believe a booking fee of $112. And he... it's not a year's probation, it's a year and a half's probation, and he is going to have to watch out during that time, because probation is a peculiar animal. They say obey all laws, but this peculiar law resisting arrest, what charge was Vinny being arrested for? They didn't say. So a resisting arrest is often in the eye of the beholder, and the beholders in most cases are police officers and their fellow police officers. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. In case you just tuned in, I'm Bathrobe's peer Robert Norse. Our call-in number, if you want to contribute to the show or ask questions or give answers, 427-3772. That's 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. If you're a little bashful about getting on the air, voicemail, 427-4523, Post Office Box, 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Again, the numbers, studio phone, call in line if you want to be on the air, 427-3772, voicemail number, 427-4523. And if you want to catch me or Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom off the air. You can get Huff at 423-HUFF, H-U-F-F. 423-HUFF will get you Huff. So Huff at us a bit. And while we're waiting to hear from you and, of course, to proceed, we're still waiting for our first guest, Steve Argy, to come in. We're going to be reading you some interesting updates from around the country, at least around the state. We're talking around the world. We got some stuff on Yugoslavia today, too. Let's hear a little bit from Peggy Seeger. The first tape I ever heard of hers from the 70s, which says more than we want to hear.
In the morning we built the city.
In the afternoon walked through its streets.
Evening saw us leaving.
We wandered through our days, vows if they would never end. All of us imagined we had endless time to spend. We hardly saw the crossroads and small attention gave to landmarks of the journey from the cradle to the grave, cradle to the grave, cradle to the grave. Did you learn to dream in the morning?
Abandon dreams in the afternoon.
Wait without hope in the evening.
Did you stand there in the traces and let them feed your lies? Did you trail along behind them wearing blinkers on your eyes? Did you kiss the foot that kicked you? Did you thank them for their scorn? Did you ask for their forgiveness for the act of being born, act of being born, act of being born? Did you alter the face of the city?
Make any change in the world you found?
Or did you observe all the warnings?
Did you read the trespass notices? Did you keep off the grass? Did you shuffle off the pavement just to let your betters pass? Did you learn to keep your mouth shut? Were you seen and never heard? Did you learn to be obedient and jump to our word, jump to our word, jump to our word? Did you ever demand any answer?
The who and the what and the reason why?
Did you ever question the setup? Did you stand aside and let them choose while you took second best? Did you let them skim the cream off and then give to you the rest? Did you settle for the shoddy and did you think it right to let them rob you right and left and never make a fight? Never make a fight, never make a fight.
What did you learn in the morning?
How much did you know in the afternoon?
Were you content in the evening?
Did they teach you how to question when you were at the school? Did the factory help you grow? Were you the maker or the tool? Did the place where you were living enrich your life and then? Did you reach some understanding of all your fellow men, all your fellow men, all your fellow men?
And that was Peggy Seeger from her 1973 album. It's actually Peggy and her partner, Ewan McCall, with whom she had three children, I believe. It's called The Ballad of Accounting. 1973, Smithsonian Folkways Records. Great number. I know it by heart. Last time I think I read to you from the California Homeless Civil Rights Update. It's a flyer I put out which will be reprinted in the next month's street sheet, not my own street shit sheet from Santa Cruz, which you can sometimes find on the streets, particularly if you're tabling outside the Cinema 9 to end the sleeping ban, which some of us have been doing for the last week. But if you read the street sheet from San Francisco, sold on the streets of San Francisco by homeless people, and actually there's some copies around Santa Cruz too, published by the Coalition on Homelessness. In that update, I talked about Street Minister Jerry Henry. I'm going to read that story again, and I'm going to then play you some interviews from the Rancho Del Mar Aptos Shopping Center from about a week ago, after Jerry Henry was arrested for a second time for the crime, essentially sitting in his own car, petitioning to be let into stores that have colluded
to evict him from the shopping center. Not only did they want him in their stores, which I suppose in some sense is their right, although if they are open to the public, they should be open to the public, period. But they want to get rid of him from the entire shopping center. They succeeded because Judge Heather Morse laid down a condition after a $100,000 bail was put on Jerry Henry for a, it was at the time, it was a $2,000 crime. Eventually they concocted 13 charges, but again, that's no more than $13,000 or $26,000. It's unclear whether misdemeanors are $1,000 or $2,000 max. But the bail was hugely in excess of anything required. It was designed to make sure that his family, which has access to some money apparently, could not pay it. And he could not raise the money, and so he would have to accept a stay away from the shopping center. And apparently the very vindictive and vicious agenda of people like Claudia Easterby of Gottschalk's. And Claudia, if you want to call in, or if anyone here wants to support or explain her position, I'd love to hear it, because I have not heard any kind of justification, and I would like to. In fact, I'm going to ask my producer to give Gottschalk's a call and invite Claudia Easterby to call the show, listen into the show and call the show if she wants to speak up on that issue. And perhaps my producer will heard that and be pressing on with that now. Here's the account I gave of what happened, and we've talked about Jerry Henry before. Street Minister Jerry Henry is again the target of a merchant sheriff social cleansing campaign at the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center in Aptos, just south of Santa Cruz. Henry defends and advises young and homeless people who have who hang out at the mall. After dropping bogus charges in April, see Street Sheet September 99, merchants and police have escalated their war to banish Henry from the war is escalating from the intentionally abusive to the breathtakingly absurd. On Columbus Day, October 11th, Henry was jailed for, quote, trespass to interfere with a business, 602.1, and held on $2,500 bail. 4 days after relatives posted this bail on the groundless charge, Henry was rearrested on the same charge, that is to say, for another day. They had simply repeated the charge for the next day or the day, a couple days down the road, with resisting arrest thrown in for good measure as he peacefully vigiled at the shopping center. This time, bail was set at $25,000. When his relatives and their bail bondsmen arrived at the jail, Judge Robert Yontz raised bail to $100,000. This is on two charges with a maximum penalty of $2,000 and 2 years in jail. Henry has never been convicted of anything, is not accused of any violent crimes, and has never missed a court date. Gottschalk's supervisor, I should say Yontz's colleague, presiding Santa Cruz Judge Heather Morse, in whose court Henry appeared finally on Tuesday, then colluded with complainant Claudia Easterby, and the Gottschalk's supervisor apparently behind much of the vendetta against Henry, by refusing to hear in a timely manner a writ of habeas corpus filed to free Henry, finally throwing it out for, quote, lack of jurisdiction. This is the basic civil right upon which all our other civil rights are really predicated in the Anglo-American system of justice. It was secured in the 13th century by the barons at Runnymede when they demanded that King John agree to it. It's called the Great Writ, and it is the right of anyone who's jailed to be brought before a judge to be told the charges against him. And this was not done. Heather Morse, a woman I call Mockery Morse because of her past record in terms of homeless cases, and we can talk about that more if people are interested, declined to even have a hearing on this writ of habeas corpus until a Tuesday, which was a full more than 72 hours after Henry was arrested. And the DA wanted to even expand the time to Wednesday when he would be arraigned. Again, the point being that because they have not been able to convict him and even haven't had the courage to try Mr. Henry for anything, they are punishing him by handcuffing him, jailing him, and holding him in jail again and again, and posting and requiring extravagant bail for his release. This is a form of punishment without trial. This is excessive bail. It's forbidden by the Eighth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. But our judges apparently are more interested in currying favor with the local merchants and trusting their local sheriff's department than they are in being independent judges of the facts. This is nothing new. I shouldn't be surprised. In fact, that's why juries are instituted, to control these judges. That's why we need to educate the community that they have the right to overturn these judges, to tell the judges to just take a hike on these issues. I'm not talking about the grand jury, which is really a plaything in the hands of a prosecutor. I'm talking about what's called the petite jury, your jury of 12 women and men who have the right to decide guilty or innocent. These are the people who can say to the judicial system, you can bring that person before me on marijuana charges as many times as you want. You can shout at me, I have to follow the law, and put this man in jail for years and years for possessing marijuana as long as you want. I say to you, not guilty. Get a life. And that's what the jury can do. If they are educated, if they know that they can't be held, cannot be fined, penalized, or questioned in any other place for their verdict. That is a sacrosanct reality. And if we can get together to inform the juries of this fact, and I hope that at some point Santa Cruzans will want to join with me in a project. It's something that really is worthy, and it goes beyond any particular case. It's just the right of justice, even though you might think, you know, some people are prejudiced, some people are conservative. When 12 people come together, if they really know what's going on, first of all, just one of them can hang the jury. One of them can say, not guilty, and stick with that. And by doing that, enforce a second trial. And this can make the cost of pushing prosecutions against people for victimless crimes like prostitution, drug use, sleeping under a bridge, or in this case, trespass, where it's not really a trespass. Nobody saw Henry walk onto the property. He didn't walk onto the property. He was off the property. This is a concocted charge where, in essence, a man is being punished. And it's true that I suppose the sheriffs and the judges can keep on pulling him into court, but if he keeps being found not guilty, he hasn't even been tried, of course, they always drop the charges. But if people who are, what runs this whole court system, the machine that runs the court system, is the plea bargaining system, where people give up their rights because public defenders and attorneys like Tony Bull, who advised Vincent Lombardo, advise them to do so and press them to do so and say they're going to get a much worse consequences if they don't. And indeed, in some cases, that's certainly true advice, because judges punish you for having jury trials, though they shouldn't. You should have exactly the same sentence regardless whether you have a jury trial, but that's not how the system works. Instead, they punish you for asserting your rights. But if people become aware that this is a racket and a system for judges and attorneys to make money, and for sheriffs and law enforcement officials to get more power and have more jobs. And I'm not saying these people are evil. They just want to pay the rent, man. They're just like the rest of us. But they shouldn't be doing it at the expense of basic civil rights for the entire community. And also, they impugn their own authority. They discredit the legitimate functions of law enforcement, which have to do with real public safety, by spending most of their time and money and energy on things like the drug war. And they will keep doing it unless we stop them. And the way we stop them is with things like fully informed juries, what's called jury nullification or jury independence. Very important issue, which I'm going to hopefully be talking about more, and I'm hoping that we can get together a project to educate the community on that. I'm giving you this aside all in the middle of a discussion of Jerry Henry. Jerry Henry is a man who was in jail on $100,000 bail. He was finally released on his own recognizance, which is amazing itself. You're going to put someone in jail on $100,000 bail, and then suddenly you release him on his own recognizance, which means without any bail at all. It indicates that the bail was bullshit. At least that's what it indicates to me. I don't see any other reason for it. I mean, murderers, you know, you put in jail on $100,000 bail if they're likely to flee. But Henry lives here, his family lives here, he's not likely to flee, he's not accused of murder. In essence, he's accused of embarrassing merchants who want to drive away young people from the Rancho Del Mar shopping center, and they are doing this by trying to cut the young people off from their sources of support and information, like Henry, adults who are willing to stand up to these deputies, stand up to these merchants and say, no, you don't like him here? Well, go have a cup of coffee and relax. Go see a psychiatrist. Take a break. Go on a vacation. This is the United States of America. This is California. This is the Santa Cruz County area. People have basic rights to be in public places unless they're abusive, unless they're assaultive, unless they're destroying property or stepping on other people's rights. Unfortunately, we have a sheriff's department. We have a merchant community that somehow feels its rights are greater than those of the community at large, and certainly greater than poor people or young people or homeless people who are traditionally disadvantaged and discriminated against. And if you know, if you've forgotten that when you were homeless, if you've forgotten that when you were young, and if you've forgotten when you were poor, then it's time to go out on the streets and start talking to people again and try to remember that, because that is in fact what happens. Anyway, Henry was he tried to get rid of habeas corpus, which is again the basic law of the land. It predates the Constitution by 500 years, and it says you don't hold a person in jail unless you can show the charges before a judge. And the man has a right, if you get to a writ of habeas corpus, bring me the body. That's what it means in Latin. You have a right to have yourself presented before a judge and have the charges read to you, the probable cause explained to you. Heather Morris denied that for Jerry Henry. Now it's being appealed, and he's out on bail, on his own recognizance now. But it's not moot. I mean, it's not like it's not an issue anymore, because if they can do this, they can hold any of us all over the weekend, and they can screw up our lives. Those of us who have working lives, they don't take you into court on Monday morning. They take you into court on Tuesday or Wednesday. That's what they choose to do. And they do this even if there's no genuine charge against you. This is a frightening thing. If you're going to lose your room or your house because of this, it's going to put sort of a chill in your political activity. You're going to start paying a lot more attention to what the police say, even if what they say is wrong. So, continuing with the story, Morse released her homeless advocate hostage, that's Judge Morse, only after he, Jerry Henry, agreed to a banishment order from the Rancho Del Mar until the time of trial, which should be in about a month. This order had been sought for years by Easterby, other merchants, and the police. Easterby, again, is the woman at Gottschalk's who apparently is instrumental in pressing for these illegal orders, in half a dozen other bogus charges filed against Henry. What they could not get in a public trial, this cabal imposed behind closed doors with a huge bail requirement, $100,000 for $2,000 charges, which forced Henry to agree to a temporary banishment order rather than spend the next 4 weeks before trial in jail. It's really hard to prepare your case if you're in jail. By the time Henry reached court, Morse's court, the next Monday after his arrest, anti-homeless district attorney Jim Jackson had cooked up a total of 11 misdemeanor charges against Henry, which he wasn't originally arrested for. Then suddenly 11 charges appear, again to justify the $100,000 bail for any media that might be interested in looking. And of course, Daryl Cole, the Santa Cruz Sentinel, even though he was given all the details about this and promised to look into it and write about it, crawled back into his hole and had nothing to say. He explained in a soft, whimpering voice to me later that, well, I can't really take your word for it, and, he didn't take my word for it, actually. I presented him with several witnesses, but he was still unwilling to even mention the issue of a $100,000 bail in the Sentinel. Of course, I'm not surprised. It's just always a disappointment to me when reporters who claim to have integrity and interest in these events fail, and fail so regularly that it becomes clear that their job description involves that kind of failure. Jim Jackson had cooked up a total of 11 misdemeanor charges against Henry, including resisting arrest, public nuisance, and trespass, all of which were designed to punish Henry for his high-profile, nonviolent advocacy on behalf of young people swept up in the merchant's new Young and Homeless Get Out program at Rancho Del Mar. Santa Cruz homeless activists may join Aptos Youth in their picket against Gottschalk's in protest. And I'm going to play you now some of the tape I took out at the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center the day after Jerry Henry was arrested on this $100,000 bail.
Jury, testing 1, 2, 3. It's 8:30 on October 17th. And we're near the Rancho Liquors and Coffee Roasting Company. We're in front of the Coffee Roasting Company, Aptos Coffee Roasting Company. And some signs posted here save our community fascists. We don't need no stinking fascists. Why does Gottschalk insist on discriminating the disabled? Undesirable, stop the police state, let's get rid of Mark Tyson. Do you guys know anything about these signs here?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
Well, Jerry Henry is a resident of Aptos. He supports the business and community with all his heart, I'll say. He's got more passion than most people I know. And they insist on putting him in jail with murderers and rapists because he decided that he was going to sit on the hood of his car in front of Gottschalk's. And people seem to think he's homeless and all the stereotyping and everything that goes on. And in fact, he's a resident. He owns property. He owns a home. An organic garden.
What's your name?
I don't really want to say that.
How long have you known Jerry?
I'd say about 3 years.
And you regard him as a violent person?
No, not at all. He may raise his voice once in a while, but not violent at all. He's very passive.
And were you around here on Friday when he was last arrested?
I came after. I was here after the event.
Anybody here when he was arrested?
I was here, but I didn't really see it.
What's your name?
Paris.
And are you a local here at Aptos?
Yeah,
I've
lived here all my life.
And how long have you known Jerry Henry?
97.
He
started all this stuff.
What's your feeling about all the situation? What's happening?
I don't really care. I'm just like, it's really kind of seemed annoying, but...
You or the police?
Henry. Both of them. The whole situation is just... I don't really care about it. I try to stay out of it.
Okay. Uh-huh. Lisa, what's your name?
My name is Bill Army. I witnessed Jerry getting arrested 2 days ago.
As a matter of fact, I got pictures of it all.
Cool.
For the absurd.
Tell me what happened.
Basically, the officers walked up, they took him aside, I didn't hear any of it, and they handcuffed him and took him away. They didn't even tell anybody what the charges were.
Where did this happen?
This happened right in front of the Gottschalk trailer sitting on his car.
He was sitting in his car. So he wasn't blocking the sign.
He was not blocking anything at all.
Was he shouting and screaming?
Shouting at all.
Was he defecating a teen?
No.
Was he throwing rotten eggs at
him? None of the above. None of the above. He was the most nuts guys I know.
And had you been there for any period of time before this arrest happened?
Yeah.
Had you been talking to him?
I've been talking to him, hanging out. I took a picture of someone from the Cabrillo Voice. I had taken a picture of him, was talking to him. I had a cup of coffee. I was drinking my coffee.
And how many officers showed up?
Two.
You know the names of these officers?
I do not know the names of the officers, but I do have photographs, and you can see them.
Do you make sure it's deputies?
I believe so, yes.
And what, did you hear none of the conversation at all?
No. They took them aside, you know, they didn't want us to hear. The officer got very angry that I was taking photographs, as a matter of fact, too. Something like that.
Too bad.
Yeah, exactly, too bad.
So your sign says, what exactly is undesirable?
Exactly.
I would say police harassment of people is undesirable.
That's very undesirable. We're just going to end this all, you know, it's going to get cleared up. We just want people to have their rights. That's all we're asking for.
How long have you been doing this protest?
We've been doing this for about, let's see, what time is it? Five hours.
The police come and talk to you guys at all?
The first alarm showed up at one point, and I guess they got a complaint from the liquor store, but we haven't been back in any interest in it. We haven't been lied at all. The sheriff came out. They said, you know, you can't do anything. This is totally legal. This is this and that. So it's been good. It's been positive. You know, I'm just trying to get the word out.
What's the general attitude of the public? How do they regard this?
Well, when people, when we can explain the situation to them, most people understand and they support it, you know, but it takes people willing to stop and listen. And some people don't want to listen, but you can't pester those people, and you can just hold your sign up and do what you can do, you know.
So you have some other supporters with signs,
yes.
Say, no to social cleansing, and here's another one, free Jerry Henry. How many of you have been, how many of this group are actually pro, you know, strong supporters of Jerry Henry?
I am, Andre, you are. I know that Ron Dory over here is, I know that Rodman is, and Jeff Hickey definitely is. Most people are spread over the known, you know, because they know that what's going on is completely corrupt. Basically.
Is this, so he was arrested for a charge of interfering with a business.
602.1, yes.
Now, you saw Mr. Henry before this arrest.
Yes.
Was he demanding the customers not go in?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, they also had the manager, Claudia, had in her doorway, and I think she had a metal microphone. I made a comment that it looked like a metal ice cream can, a little joke out of it. And she had another tape recorder near the entrance there also.
Recording permission.
But, you know, I guess that's legal. They can record audio. I don't know why they're doing it.
You can record audio and video in public places, usually.
But it was kind of odd. It was just that one day they had it, and it's because Joe was obviously out there.
And did you hear him make any comments of any sort in a loud voice regarding the bat track?
No.
So, could the incident that have provoked this arrest have occurred before you arrived?
It's possible, but I don't know, honestly.
How long were you there before this happened?
I was there for maybe a half an hour, you know, talking to him. And like I said, the police just walked up the two, they took him aside, they handcuffed him, and there we went.
And are any other witnesses here to this incident?
Let's see, who else was there? Hickey was there. I talked to Jeff. Jeff is...
he's in front of Bat Shots right now.
Okay, I'll go down and talk to him. Let's go see what he has to say. Thank you, and your name again is?
Bill Army.
Here now the sign, break out the Gottschalks and Nazis. Now this is Gottschalks right here. What does Nazi ask about Gottschalks?
What does Nazi ask about Gottschalks?
What does Nazi ask? What do you call these? Surely they wouldn't call themselves Nazis.
I don't know, they may be proud of them. Well, which is the saddest thing, they're about that twisted. They may.
What have they done that makes you regard Gottschalks as being abusive to local people here?
Well, I'll explain Nazi to you for a second. One of to my knowledge, the Nazi Party and Hitler, before they ever killed Jews, they ran a social cleansing program and they killed all the eaters. They killed a big number of eaters before they
By eaters,
Jews.
You mean like vagrants and poor people and homeless people?
And retarded people, and people in wheelchairs, people that can't walk, people that can't talk, deaf, blind, mute, all those kind of people. And that's exactly what this store is doing, and the sheriff's department, number of businesses here.
I'm sure they're not killing people.
Shopping center.
You're not killing people here.
No, but they're running the same. They're running a social cleansing program. They're trying to run everybody off.
Okay.
But it hasn't come to killing yet.
Now your name is
Jeff.
And Jeff, you've been an observer of the situation for how long?
Almost 2 years. 2 years, March 23rd.
Are you concerned that people boycott Gottschalks? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, that is what I'm suggesting.
And what would you like Gottschalks to do in order for people to return their business?
Stop the discrimination. One of the most ironic things about all this is me and my friend Jerry, that's in jail right now on $100,000 bail. Me and him petitioned in front of this Gottschalk store for about a month. We petitioned the Gottschalk store, the liquor store, the coffee shop, the shopping center, the sheriff's department, and a number of other places to stop discriminating us, people of our community, especially Jerry Henry. And we handed that petition in on Tuesday of this week.
Uh-huh.
And they responded to that by arresting Jerry Henry.
Twice in one week.
But that was after the first arrest. And on Tuesday they received it. And on Friday they arrested him and put him on a $100,000 bail. An astronomical number that I do not think fits his charges.
Now, were you around on the day he was arrested?
Yeah, all day.
Did you observe his behavior on the day he was arrested?
Yes.
And what did you see?
Me and Jerry, he was sitting, we were sitting up there on the bench up there, and
to the bench,
on Jerry's bench. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but
the Rancho Liquor.
There's a concentric flower bed area over there, and the flower bed closest to Safeway is Jerry's bench. And Jerry was sitting on his bench earlier in the day, and the sun started coming out and it started getting hotter, so he decided to take his car to this parking spot right here.
Right.
And his dog was in the, he wanted his dog in the shade, mm-hmm. like this car is in the shade.
Right.
So we took it here, we sat on the
front. Here in front of Gottschalk's.
Yeah, we parked it right in front of the Gottschalk store,
right.
The main entrance. So we sat on the car and we got someone to go in and get us a cup of coffee. We're sitting there drinking a cup of coffee and he was conversing with me, other people, his friends around the area. And sheriff deputy came by and asked him how he was doing, he said, you know, I'm doing all right, and the sheriff deputy went inside the Gottschalk store, went inside the sheriff's department, that kind of thing, and they ended up, they went up to him, and they said, Mr. Henry, step over here, and spread your legs apart, put your arms behind your back, do you have any...
Is this the deputy arresting him?
No, that's a different deputy. That's the deputy that arrested him on Monday.
What's the name of this deputy?
Ramsey, I believe.
What about the deputies who arrested him?
I know Sergeant McCauley was there, and he's the one who placed the cuffs on him, but he wasn't the one, the quote-unquote arresting officer.
Who was the arresting officer?
I don't remember the name of it. But
I answer a lot of your questions.
is this guy here?
I got
I have a pager number.
I got the sheet if you're interested. Is that I got the sheet that says the bail on it, the $100,000 bail. I got the arresting officer. I got the, all the booking information if you're interested in that.
Sure, I'd like to see them.
Hey, Bill, can you go get that booking sheet up there? The one that says $100,000 bail on it?
The number's right here. It's a pager number. It's Richard Quigley.
He's right up there.
No, he's not. Oh, he's here again. Oh, good.
Uh-oh. What about his kind?
Claudia ran him off. She actually has a restraining order against him, and she went over and parked right next to his motorcycle, so he had to leave, and then she moved. She parked her car somewhere else.
Oh, interesting. You saw this?
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah.
Here, I saw
the
cars.
He was parked.
I'm sorry, say this again?
So what, the whole thing? Oh, the car's right there.
The employee, Claudia Esterby, who's... Esterby.
She's the one who... She's the reason why Jerry's in jail right now. She is the reason. She is...
Did she sign the complaint, or...?
I do not know, actually. I mean, she's the one who called the cops on him.
Mm-hmm. And do we know that now, her car is which vehicle?
It's this Taurus right here, this Ford Taurus.
Oh, it's a dark Taurus right next to our vehicle.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah. It was parked over there next to that the shopping carts up there in the red zone.
Yeah, the reason she parked over here because she has a restraining order against Mr. Richard Quigley.
So by parking her vehicle there, she's able to force him to move
exactly.
The vehicle.
He was parking, his motorcycle was parked right where it is right now. She
couldn't do that, as a matter of fact, I'll tell you.
And he'd also like to talk to you.
Okay, we're going to talk to him. Is there more that we should know? Did you hear the conversation between the deputies and Jerry Henry as he was being arrested?
The only conversation was that when they first walked up and they said, how you doing? And then the only conversation when they arrested him was if they asked him, if there was anything that can hurt them in their pockets.
Yeah.
And he said no. And that's it.
I think the truth would be rather embarrassing.
I guess.
Painful, in fact. Thank you very much, Jeff, and...
Andre.
And Andre.
Thanks for coming down.
Sure. Richard Quigley, what are you doing?
You have enough footage that we're going to be able to do this on your TV show? I think we ought to do a TV show on this week. Get set up for studio time. You got some good footage down there.
Well, that's Becky's neck of the woods. I'm the radio show guy, and that's what I'm doing. That's
well, it. Becky, what are we going to do? Are you going to put that in, incorporate that into a TV show?
You're going to file a writ of habeas corpus on behalf of Richard Jerry Henry?
Yeah, Monday morning, as soon as the courts are open, I'm going to lay it on the counter. And it's based on, excessive bail. What'd you do with it? Well, I told you to hand it to him, didn't I?
I'll take it. Hey, I got it. There's a lady that said she's turning in her Gottschalk's card.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty darn neat.
Yeah, right.
Maybe we should start a turning your Gottschalk's card campaign. Hit a Gottschalk's card burning in front of Gottschalk.
Well, I think what we need to do is come down here right around the Christmas season and start handing out all the shopping specials for Sears and Penny's and stuff. So people will know it's on sale over there so they won't be wasting their money with Gottschalk's. Take them to buy the same items elsewhere.
Indeed. Well, taking a look at your
writ of habeas corpus?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the courts have always tried to deny my writs on because they didn't like the form or they didn't like something else. But this time I think this one's going to, if they deny this,
right. All
it does is just add to the pile of stuff that they've got to climb over and the way that they've discriminated against this man.
Judge Johnson raised the bail from $25,000 to $100,000?
We don't know that. I'm assuming that since he was the one who set the original $25,000 that he must have been drunk when he did that. And by the time they decided to go to him and ask him to raise it again, he was probably drunker, so $100,000 didn't seem any more outrageous than the $25,000 that he'd already placed on him.
Mm-hmm.
It had to do with his level of sobriety. It certainly didn't have anything to do with a compelling state interest.
Has anyone gone and interviewed the sheriffs about their position on this?
Well, you're more welcome to. What you'll find is they don't want to talk to you.
I could be. I could always go try.
You remember when we did that TV show, man? You and I did that TV show.
I told you
one of them boys is likely to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that rumor. He did, didn't he?
Who got fired?
Hartzner, the guy that was running that fireworks show down there on July the 4th. And then he not only got fired, but I understand from the paper this morning that Tracy has denied the appeal of the Deputy Sheriff's Association for his job.
Now, Hartzner is a deputy that you have no particular love for?
Well, you know my reputation. I not only don't like bad cops, but I'll seek them out and find them. They seek me out and find me, but I do point at them like something out of the Aliens. You know, I do point and screech when I see one. I don't much care for him. And yeah, he was at the top of my list, bad cops. He was the one that when they couldn't intimidate me directly, that followed my significant other out here onto a stretch of road that was out in the dark woods and everything and pulled her over and beat the crap out of her and threw her in jail and shit. Because they couldn't get me directly. They thought by scaring the bejesus out of my old lady that they'd get to me, make me bend. I did flinch, which I didn't do when they messed with me directly, but they'll have a price to pay for that. This is just the first part of it. I mean, the karma's working now. The courts are still discussing whether or not they're going to get involved.
Right.
Okay, now, Jeff, you're reading this writ that Richard Quiver wrote for trying to get Jerry out on a writ of habeas corpus.
All right, I'm gonna read it right now.
Go ahead.
In the Superior Court of California, in and for Santa Cruz County, Richard J. Quigley, petitioner versus Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Department, respondent, real party in interest, Jerry Wayne Henry. Petition for writ of habeas corpus. Comes now the petitioner, Richard J. Quigley, by the request of and on behalf of the real party in interest, Jerry Wayne Henry, and moves the court for a writ of habeas corpus as follows. Statement of facts. Declaration of petitioner. Number one. On October 15, 1999, at approximately 1800 hours, Jerry Wayne Henry was arrested by the Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Office, transported to Santa Cruz County Jail, and booked on allegations that he had violated Penal Code Section 602.1, that is intentional interference with the business, and 415, disturbing the peace. Number two, petitioner is informed and believes that such an arrest was not only unwarranted by the circumstances, but otherwise devised to accomplish the ends of banishing Henry from the area in and around the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center. The banishment, which has been a top priority of Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Office, the Office of the District Attorney, and some members of the bench of the Superior Court of California in and for the County of Santa Cruz, and in excess of and otherwise in no way responsive to a legitimate application of lawful authority. Number three, by way of background, over the period of the last 2 years, Mr. Henry has been charged with, at one point, six alleged violations of Penal Code 602.1, with additional charges of Penal Code 415 thrown in. And the charges were dropped by the District Attorney the day of trial.